Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of HVU. Speaking of which, our show is brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State Collective, serving over 800 student-athletes and 31 sports at Penn State. Mike, this show is so much easier after a win, isn't it?
Oh, it's the best. I'm excited to talk about that. A lot of things to talk about, especially this spinoff of what we were talking about on Friday with Chris and in our show at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's just finally good to see everybody happy and everybody feel good and rejoice after a win like that. Night game, senior night. Just so many good things. Finally to have a game like this to talk about. It's awesome. It's awesome to see even the buzz, Sunday morning around town is good. Just everything. Just a lot of good things to talk about. Future's looking bright.
Talk about a tone difference from just 3-4 weeks ago. I even teased you a little bit. 3-4 weeks ago, my friend, I was like concerned about you. Just your tone, your mood.
Yeah.
Till now, and not even after this win against Nebraska, but on Friday, as you said, you and I and Chris, we were doing a show downtown at Buffalo Wild Wings. Just your attitude, just everything seems better. You just seem to have a pep in your step. Everything was different. And I imagine that reflects the mood in the Lash building, too.
Yeah, like I mentioned, like 2 weeks ago, before Coach Franklin got announced as the Virginia Tech new head coach, things were kind of somewhat getting back to normal. We were just felt normal in the building for whatever that is, right? Obviously, Coach Franklin is in there, so that's awkward at first, but seems like everybody was trying to just get back to football and their day-to-day process. And I saw it like in a couple of the players, I felt like. And then, some of the players had really good games that week. But then Coach Franklin gets announced, and that's the buzz and the talk all throughout the building. And obviously some of Coach Franklin's trusted people in his circle are there already. So that there's a whole another dynamic, right? Just awkward. Weird. So then when you have a game like this, it just brings you back to normal, right? You just feel normal, even though it isn't. There's a lot of decisions, Pat Kraft and administration have to make with Terry and the staff. But, that night last, on Saturday, at least you felt it was football, it was Penn State football, everything you were hoping for preseason that we talked about, like that's what it seemed like. All cylinders were rolling, special teams, defense, offense. It was awesome to see, and a lot of good things to talk about.
Well, I would like to be talking about this team getting ready for the playoffs and seeding and that kind of thing. However, without having that, what I'm really enjoying, and it clicked for me first with the Indiana game, that it was no longer about the big picture, national picture. It was just a football game, and you're watching your team play, hoping that they win. Now, they lost to Indiana, but it was just a great college football game. There was tremendous effort, played well, two good teams, and Indiana made, just some phenomenal plays to win that game. But it felt like you're in the moment instead of thinking about the big picture.
Yep.
And it sounds like that's where the players are right now.
Yeah, they're playing loose, and you can see, like what you mentioned it earlier, it was like, what's the variable, right? And we talked about it on Friday with Chris. It's Terry, right? It's like just what he's done with this team and how they're reacting to him. It's really neat to see. It's awesome to see. I guess the conversations are going to be, all right, Terry Smith, right?
Why not?
What do you want in the head coach, right? And I said it on Friday. I said last Friday, Terry, I said it last week too, 2 weeks ago. I said, things that you don't know about Terry. If you don't know him, he's a genuine person. He's phenomenal, very transparent. That's why he's part of why the reason why he's a good recruiter, all that good stuff. A lot of people already know that. But I said one of his the best things that he has is he has this ability to have hard conversations without people feeling like it's personal or not being able to take in what he's saying and not follow through with it. He has a really good way about himself to see an issue, address that issue, and fix it. And that seems like what he's doing. You know, he had an issue with us not, you know, pushing the ball downfield. He publicly said it. He wasn't like negative about it. He said what he said. He wanted to push the ball downfield more. And look what we're doing. We're starting to push the ball downfield, you know, and the defense is playing looser now. I think that's a product of them getting to know, understanding the defense week by week, day by day, as well as maybe keeping it simple. I think he mentioned to Coach Knowles that he wanted to do something in the past, this or that, something like that, right? And Coach Knowles, who's making over $3 million, could say, no, we're not doing that, right? but he has. So that's Kolnicki. And Kolnicki seems like it looks like he's in a rhythm play calling now, too. And the players are loose. So it's really neat to see. I'm happy for Terry. I'm happy for the kids. I'm happy for everybody. I'm happy for the fans, you know? So, yeah, it's really cool to see the players, the reaction just in the building. You know, you would think we're still, you know, number two in the country in the building. Like, it's just loose. It's a good thing. We're in a pretty cool time. Every season has its own story, right? And this chapter that we're turning is pretty cool. These are some good chapters we're about to go into.
I love, you know, hearing from inside what that tone is. And what's fascinating to me is how much it seems to match the fans. You know, I spent the entire Saturday tailgating. Maybe a little, I'm not sure if I'm proud or embarrassed about when I showed up in the morning and tailgated through the
whole day. I text you. I asked you, when you starting? And you were like, I'm already here. I'm like, oh, geez.
Yeah, that's all part of it.
Well, I mean, those night games will get you, though. Seeing some people walking around, out of 107,000 Central Pennsylvania, they know how to get after it.
Well, I don't want to embarrass my buddy Andrew, who probably had too much to drink. I was pretty well disciplined, partly because I was downtown Friday night, so I swore I was going to behave on Saturday. But it's a good way, being at the game, to, you know, we had like 50 people at our tailgate, and, you know, the people tailgating next to you, and so you get a good feel of what the fans are feeling. And it was a very positive vibe going on for a 4-6 team. So, you know, what Terry has done in the building, he's done also for the fan base. And we're going to get to all the Terry chants and those kind of things. But let's talk about, and this is what I like, it has translated to what we see on the field. There were a lot of plays, a lot of things going on that in that game against Nebraska, I said, I haven't seen that here. There seemed to be more different play calls.
Yeah.
The way they were using the running game, the two backs were back there. It was almost like Catron Allen lined up as a fullback.
Yeah. Well, I think when the run game is going and they get in a rhythm, Kolnicki's playbook opens up. And then that's where he's comfortable, is to open up his playbook based off of the success that we're having with the run game. And obviously, those two running backs did a really good job yesterday. Great to see those guys, because, you know, mentally for them and all the expectations going into the game, them both coming back and everything, and, you know, all the negatives throughout the season. But, like, games like yesterday, both of them having unbelievable games, Catron being an all-time leading rusher, which is crazy to think of, is great. It's awesome. It's great to see.
And Catron, who got stereotyped as that ground and pound, you know, 3 or 4 yards at a time, well, he looked pretty explosive also on Saturday night.
Yeah, he did. Well, I think you heard Coach Franklin and Coach Drayton talk about how he has not in the past had an off season, and this is his first time he's been healthy in the off season. And you can tell by his body, he's not as thick as he was last year. Not that it was bad, but he has that extra juice, that extra gear now that he can hit the home run and maybe outrun an angle or something like that. So it's good to see. He looks really good, though. He's shifty. He's patient. He has that explosion. He has that make you miss at the second level. And now what you're seeing, like I just said, is like those guys that are able to outrun those angles on the second level, those are home run guys. And that's what he showed yesterday.
It was really impressive to see him. What I also liked was the usage of Nick Singleton. I've made reference that he hasn't forgotten how to run the ball, okay? You don't just forget that. I don't think he was used properly. Now, I'm sure it's tough on him with a more limited role, but it's a very successful limited role.
Yeah, I mean, that was the issue that I didn't know how they were going to figure out at the beginning of the season. It's like Kolnicki has all these awesome weapons, and how do you even get everywhere the ball, right? From the two running backs to the receivers, the three receivers that we brought in, to the tight end room that's 3-4 deep, you know. And now it seems like he's got a good rhythm with the running backs, and that's opening up everything else. And we go as that run game goes. Offensive line looks great. They look like they're playing different rhythm. You saw that last week a little bit. And then I'm going to shout out my guy, Rapp. I've been saying it for a while. I've always been a Luke guy, yeah. Right? And don't forget Dink. I love Dinkins. But the younger guys coming up, you know, I loved Luke. But Rapp, watching him play lately, like he's all around and can be the best tight end in the country by far. From his blocking ability to his ability to spread them out, his ability to catch the ball, and then his yards after the catch. He's got it all. And he's a little psycho. I'm a former tight end, and I'm a meathead too at heart. So that's why I like Rapp, and I'm happy to see him coming off his injury. But yeah, just had a quick shout out to Rapp.
Well, and I think he was the forgotten guy. He was out for a year with an injury. So he got completely forgotten, partly because Luke Reynolds was the shiny new toy, the new guy coming in. We've got lots more to talk about. We're going to hit the game. We're going to hit Ethan Grunkmeyer and how he looked and what he did. I want to talk to you about the play calling. There were so many positives to talk about with this game, and we're going to do that more right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective serving 31 sports and over 800 student-athletes. I'm Jim Galanti. With me is Mike Filigrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. We're talking everything Penn State football, especially starting with Saturday night's big win over Nebraska. And before we get into, I mentioned, you know, Grunkmeyer, the play calling, all of those things. It was also, Mike, you alluded to it earlier, this was the team we expected to see all along. It was offense, defense, just every level. This team performed like a top 10 team.
Yeah, I saw a couple things on social media about this is what we've, I think it was the producer for the Pate, what's that show? The Pate, State Pate, or he's a big guy now. The podcaster, he has a Pate show. Josh Pate?
Oh, Josh Pate.
Is it Josh Pate?
Yeah.
So his producer is a Penn Stater, and he's I think he did something with Landon Tangwell, but he was going on there. He was like, this is what we wanted from the beginning of the season, right? It was hitting on all cylinders. It was against a very reputable team. I think it's funny that it's Matt Rhule's team. Had to be very humbling for Matt Rhule. Even listening to him talk at the end, at the post-conference, it was kind of like he just wanted to get the hell out of there.
Can't blame him.
Yeah, but it was really cool to see, especially as a fan. Not just especially as a fan, as a, everybody, and as I said this already, everybody just felt good about it finally, right? And you got to leave that stadium jacked up, people chanting Terry, the players, you know, with those signs. I don't know how that happened, but that's kind of cool to see that. Just them coming together is pretty neat. Whether or not Coach Terry Smith becomes the next head coach for Penn State, regardless, like, this is a really cool thing for me to just be a part of and see happen, being close to a lot of the people it's happening to. It's really neat to see. It's really cool to see these players then in this day and age and NIL, and you, everybody in the audience knows, like, you know, our roster, you know, they're paid well. You know, we competed, you know, with some of the best schools to get this roster. So they're getting paid a lot of money. So with that, there's a lot of responsibility and accountability that's tough sometimes. And even I'll shout out AJ Harris, who I've been kind of like hard on, you know, personally. Like, I just expected more just from watching him this offseason and whatnot. And everybody knows he's had his back and forth with Coach Terry Smith. Coach Terry Smith has benched him, right? That has to be tough for somebody of his caliber, right? Arguably the number one kid going to be taken next year from our roster in the NFL draft. And he's out there promoting Coach Smith. That says, I keep saying it, Coach Terry Smith has a way about himself to get through with people, whether it's adults, young men, his family, support staff. He has a way to get to them and to get those players or staff members or whoever to believe in him. And that's huge. That's huge in this day and age. So it's really neat to see those players react like they did.
And, you know, it's funny. We've been talking about the tone amongst the fans, the players, the team. Less than 2 months ago, this was the number two team in the country getting set to play the Whiteout. It could not have been better for Penn State Nation, Nittany Nation, than it was then. And so quickly, here we are, again, less than 2 months later, the head coach of that team is now the head coach at Virginia Tech. This team went from, you know, was 0-6 in conference, which is unthinkable, unfathomable. And now it's all flipped again. You know, the storybook, it's from so high to so low. And now, hey, with six losses, you can never say, you know, they're reaching their peak. But the whole story has changed over now. The fans on Saturday were excited to be at the stadium, were excited to be there, and saw a great performance from the team when just a couple weeks ago, we didn't think that was possible for these players to come back. And as you said, the variable is Terry. I mean, he's instilled something in these players. I didn't think it was possible.
I know, and even national media is seeing it now, right? I was just in the car, and I was listening to XM radio, and there's a national media radio show, and they're talking about Terry and what they should do. And that now that narrative is out there, and it's only going to become more relevant the more we win. And as time keeps coming, or as time goes by, and people get to really dive in and see who Terry is that people didn't know, maybe outside of the Penn State ecosystem, people are going to fall in love with this guy and say, why not Terry?
And, you know, I thought the flaw in all of that was what you had was emotion. And we referenced our buddy Chris Buchanani, who we did the show together on Friday. And Chris talked about the difference of what you feel in your head and in your heart.
Yeah.
And your heart says, I love the Terry Smith story. I love that he bleeds blue and white. I love that he played for Joe Paterno, is not afraid to express his admiration for Joe. And we will talk about the pin he was wearing. We will talk about that. So that's your heart talking. But in my head, it's still about, can this guy, forget the intangibles, how about the tangibles? And he had, Saturday night was a job interview for Terry.
Yeah, every day is, really, for him. You know, the brass and Pat, they're watching all this. I'm sure they're asking questions, all the right people. Hey, how's, you know, Coach Terry, how's the staff in the building? They're coming in the building. Yeah, it's every day is an interview. And the more he interviews, the better he looks as the next head guy. And you asked it on Friday's show. It's like, well, what do you need from a coach? He has everything to win here. You know, he has the knowledge of this place, the nuances. Every place has a unique culture and administration, external team, internally. He knows it all, right? He knows the recruiting landscape. We need to recruit the hell out of this state, right, and our footprint to continue this where we're at, right? We want to stay a top five team, top 10 team every year. He has the ability to recruit. It's proven, right? He has relationships with the current staff. He has relationships with the external. You know, he has the buy-in from the players. I think if you go into the portal this season, I mean, his pitch is, look what I just did. Look at that. Look what I just did, right? And, okay, you don't believe me? All right, go out with AJ Harris or Rapp or one of these players, Gronk, and just go have dinner with him. Have him talk to you. Talk about the real. All right, what's Coach Terry really like? All right, and they'll tell him. And if you're a portal kid and you got 2, 3, maybe 1 year left, you want to play for a guy that everybody loves, right? And there's no hesitation, right? I think people would be a little bit different if, like, the head coach was like Brian Kelly. I don't think you're going to be saying too many nice things about him if you're a player, if it's player to player. But I think he has everything that you want as a head coach. That is a tough position administration is in. Really all around the board and in the country, all these head coaching positions are open. Like, that is tough. That is so tough. Like, especially with all these extensions, like, there's going to be so many. I was thinking about this the other day. I think it's going to be really cool to see, like, some of these, like, out of nowhere hires, right? You're going to get to a lot of hires that are like, who's this? What's this guy?
Well, there's so many openings and so many guys who have signed the extensions. Who's left to hire? And the one, and not to get off tangent, but I am loving this whole Lane Kiffin story at Ole Miss.
It's incredible.
Isn't it? And what a mess.
Mess.
That is. What a mess LSU is. But Lane Kiffin, I admire Ole Miss for saying, you got to decide.
Yeah.
And you got, and I'm waiting for, if he plays Mississippi State, I assume they're going to win. They're going to be in the playoffs. And if he wants to make the announcement that, yeah, when this ends, I'm going to go to LSU or to Florida, will Ole Miss let him coach the playoffs?
I don't think so. I
don't either.
If I had a bet and there was a sitting head coach that was going to be in the playoffs, and they're courted by another school, I don't think they could coach in the playoffs. With that school missing the first signing period that's coming up in 2 weeks, you're going to miss that. Not the end of the world to me. Now it's all about retainment is 1A, and then 1B is the portal.
And picture this, Lane Kiffin coaching Ole Miss in the playoffs. Meanwhile, he's talking to a kid who had committed to Ole Miss, and he's trying to convince that kid to go to LSU next year because that's where I'm going to be coaching next year. And I know we talked about this a little bit. I don't know if it was on the air or not, but several years back, Michigan basketball was put in this position that a really good team, their head coach was signed to, I think, coach Arizona State the following year. And Bo Schembechler was the athletic director, their former football coach, and says, Michigan will be coached by a Michigan man.
Yeah.
He let him go, and they ended up winning the tournament and won the national championship. So I can see something similar happen. So that will be interesting to see. But here we are, you know, at Penn State, and how this story will be written for Terry. He's gaining momentum. But my thing, I've never talked to Terry personally. But everything I hear about him, he's the greatest guy in the world. Everybody loves him, which is much easier to do when you're an assistant coach than when you're the head coach. But that doesn't, you're the nicest guy in the world, doesn't make you a head coach, though.
Yeah, but I think it's really neat, and it speaks to who he is. He's a humble person, a man of faith, and he was open about that after the second week, maybe somebody asked him. I forget what it might have been, his Monday news conference, but he says it's a lot different. I had to ask a lot of questions. It took time for him to adjust to that, because Coach Franklin, the way he had it set up, to a certain extent, all coaches, everything goes through the head coach, yeah. Right? But Coach Franklin, he really has eyes that have processes of how things.
He micromanages.
Yeah. And I mean, he had a really good system with all the support staff, knowing what to take, when to take it, and all that. So that was put on his plate, and he had to absorb that. And then he had to say, okay, well, you don't need to do that for me. Okay. You just handle that. Right. And so he's adjusting on the fly while trying to get buy-in from his staff, the coaches, the support staff, and the players ultimately, right? And he's done that. So I think it's really cool that he was able to humble himself and say, yeah, I didn't know what the heck I was doing at first, but I'm figuring it out.
When we come back, I'm going to tell you why I am hopping on the Terry Smith train. We'll do that when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. The NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number 3 of our show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective, serving over 800 student-athletes across 31 sports. I'm Jim Galante, quarter number 3, with Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. And Mike, it's interesting, we got sidetracked from the game. That's my fault. But we're going to stay off this sidetrack a little bit.
Okay.
I've been starting to hear, one of my very good friends has been texting me about Terry Smith. You know, he hopped on the train early.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to convince me to get on the train. And I love that Terry Smith bleeds blue and white. I love all of that. But let me tell you what I love better, what I love more. I saw things in this Nebraska game, and I saw it in Indiana, Michigan State. The play calling was different. And the thing, everybody talks about getting the running game going. But when Grunkmeyer first got the job, it was like they were afraid to let him pass the ball downfield. And Terry said, we got to fix that. And I'm like, yeah, Terry, you're the head coach. It's up to you. Go fix it.
Yeah.
You know what, Mike? He fixed it.
Yeah.
He fixed it. And one of my great pet peeves is don't pass the ball down the field when you're put in that third and long position. Throw the ball on first down. Play action pass. I'm beginning to think Terry listens to our show. What did we see? We must have seen, it was like 4 or 5 times, play action pass on first down and throwing the ball down the field. And oh, by the way, it worked every time.
Well, yeah, but I keep saying it because Coach Koltnicki has a heck of a run scheme and game plan, and that it's working, right? So everything else is opening up. The shots downfield, the medium stuff, the short stuff, everything opens up once you get those two guys rolling. And it's really exciting. And I said it before, like, he was able to have that hard conversation with Coach Koltnicki and say, hey, let's do this, let's do that. And Coach Koltnicki makes a lot of money too, you know, and they were able to have that conversation and get it fixed. And now you're seeing the results.
And we are, and I love that you talk about it that way, that Terry's able to have those conversations and get results. It's not just lip service. We see the result. And I'm going to use this as a way to segue into a conversation about Ethan Grunkmeyer. And don't have the numbers in front of me, but it was like 12 for 13. And his average per throw was very high. They were getting the ball down the field. And it's amazing when it felt like they put Ethan Grunkmeyer in a position to succeed. And by the way, you talked about running the ball well opens up the passing game. I think showing you're willing to pass makes it easier to run the ball too.
Yeah. You want to be well-rounded, right? So you don't have the defense playing to one run or pass. But it's just reps. You know, he had reps with the number one team in the country, followed up by the next week, the number two team in the country. I think that those reps are so valuable for him and his growth. Just because, I mean, he wasn't playing the Sisters of the Poor, right? You get some kind
Certainly
of false,
not, yeah.
Yeah, trying to get some like kind of false confidence. He was getting real reps. He looked a little bit hesitant, maybe in the first game to maybe pull the ball down and run. But now he seems loose. And again, there's nothing more valuable than game reps, and he looks more comfortable. And like I've been saying, I'm a grunt guy. I think he has it. I think he has the buy-in of the team. The players like him, and it's showing. And he's getting better each week. Terry got thrown into a pretty tough position, and he is killing it. And now Gronk, I think, equally got thrown in just as tough a position, right? A down team, no playoffs. You're the backup to Drew. And he comes in, and now he's proven himself. He's growing, and that takes a lot of hard work. You know, not just up to this point, or not just since he started, but all the way up to that point as the backup. He had to prepare every day, and that's the part. Like I like Gronk, seeing him. Like having to deal with him on some of the collective stuff. Like he's just a dude. Like, and I like that as my quarterback. And that dude is able to sling it, run it. He's able to make his reads. So I think the future is like super bright for Gronk. And so if Terry's the next head coach or whoever it is, I think we're in a really good position going in the next year with Grunkmeyer. I wouldn't be too concerned about hitting the portal for a quarterback, unless it is a quarterback that you want to come in to be the number two. You won't have to, you know, pay as much money for that quarterback, but that's also a tricky a job, getting a guy to come in as a backup from the portal. Usually they're in the portal because they want to go and start somewhere. So that's going to be tough. But obviously the guys behind Gronk right now, they're going to have to, you know, look at what they want to do for the future, for their future, what makes sense. Because those guys are talented too. Going into camp, you know, it was a discussion who's going to be the number two. Smolik had a really good camp. Unfortunately, he got dinged up a little bit. But after seeing, I didn't know too much about Smolik until I got here. And I was really impressed with him. Seeing him throw the ball because I guess, he had gotten hurt prior to me getting here. And it was neck and neck all fall, you know, potentially having to go out and get a portal person. A portal kid, because, you know, nobody was a clear-cut number two that would step in and fill the shoes of Drew Allar. But now it looks like, you know, I think, you know, I haven't talked to anybody, so I don't know, but I think based off of yesterday and what he's been doing, I think Gronk has a chance to be a freaking dude. I think he already is a dude. So, and that helps with that moving to the 26th season, because obviously, we talk about it all the time, you need a quarterback. If you don't have a quarterback, you're screwed. Yeah. So that makes it a lot easier for roster management when the next, you know, head coach, whether it's Terry or somebody else or the GM, comes in and they got to make some roster decisions. That helps because that that's a big premium position that takes up a lot of your cap.
It does, and we've talked about it. I've talked about it on the other shows. The quarterback position. I meant Kurt Cignetti. He's winning, but you know what? He was 2 for 2 in bringing quarterbacks in. And if you look throughout the country, gee, this team's playing well, this team's playing poorly. That quarterback's playing well, that quarterback's playing poorly. That's the difference, typically.
Isn't it funny, not to cut you off, but real quick before I forget, isn't it funny like how we're starting to pay players and become more of an NFL model? What is the big thing in NFL?
Quarterback. You don't win without a quarterback.
Right.
And you see that exactly, the NFL model. And the value of the quarterback, you know, one time early on, even with the out-of-conference schedule, winning by over 30 points and not looking good doing it, and in watching those games and thinking about it, how often is it, gee, the quarterback did not perform on third down, which turns the ball over, you know, that's the end of the drive, and all of a sudden, gee, we went three and out. The offense is terrible.
Yeah.
Well, it was because on third down, the quarterback didn't perform, didn't make the play.
Yeah.
And making the play takes different forms. I'm going a long way to point out that I think what I'm seeing in Ethan Grunkmeyer, even from difference from his first couple games to this game, is he just seems so decisive. When it's time to scramble, you talked about it. He's mobile enough to help you out with his legs, but now he's not hesitating when it's time to escape the pocket, right?
Yeah, I think so. He's very decisive, looks confident, looks comfortable. He looks like our guy in the future. I don't know how to say it any other way. I'm just really happy for him. I just shot him a text, actually. Just happy for him and some of those guys that I've gotten to know, because I know it. We talk about the staff and all that, but these players, man, it's such a tough year for these guys. And I tell my wife this all the time. I tell everybody this. Like, I don't know what it is about Penn State kids, and part of the reason why I love it here, but they're just different. I just vibe with them really well. They're just great kids. And, you know, kudos to, like, the whole staff and Coach Franklin, you know, recruiting that type of kid and keeping that culture here. I just don't think that will ever change. It's the type of kid, when a scout says he's a Penn State kid, they know they're getting something different in that organization.
Well, and it's also with that type of kid, you need the coach that matches that. It's not just the best coach, it's the right coach for the culture, and who fits the culture here, right?
The kids have to be able to be coachable, right? They have to adapt. It's two ways is what I'm saying. Like, but it's two ways. Like, you got to be able to coach and be able to take that type of coaching from Terry or whoever it is, and you know, and that coach or Terry and that position coach, they got to be able to coach that kid. You know, every kid's different. Rap is different than Dink, right? Dink is way different than Luke. You know, TJ Shanahan's way different than Doc. Right, like, you got to be able to coach all of these different personalities and get to them, which is huge. But also, those kids got to be coachable.
And, well, you mentioned several of the offensive linemen who we thought going into the season that was going to be the strength of this team. They didn't show it, but here in this game against Nebraska, I shouldn't say all of a sudden, like, just in this game it showed up. We started to see it now for a few games. How does all of a sudden a group like an offensive line, which has to work together so well, I know Terry's the variable, but how does that just all of a sudden click?
Well, they're an older group too, right? They're old guys, that crew. So they're going to take accountability on that stuff. They probably handle this great. You know, Doc will tell you he probably hasn't played the best this year to his expectations, but he kept a great attitude, kept that crew together, because he's the rock to me in that group. And, you know, they could have laid down. Doc said, okay, screw it, I'm going to start worrying about the offseason and, you know, the NFL and combine, all that good stuff. And no, they came together. This group came together and said, no, this is how we're finishing. And you saw how happy they were to win that Michigan State game. It was awesome, especially Doc. You saw it. And then this game, and they're starting to play loose. They're starting to play, you know, good fundamentally sound football. And man, I wish we had the whole season in front of us, because I mean, watch out Rutgers with the momentum they got going right now. This team, they believe in themselves. There's a ton of momentum. That building is going to be, it's going to feel a lot different this week. And hopefully we get this win on Saturday, next Saturday, and then, you know, we get a bowl opportunity, and That leads into a whole nother discussion.
It does, and we will talk about it when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. It's quarter number four of our show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of HVU. And Mike, we're sort of getting off on the tangents, which is okay. We're also talking about the win over Nebraska. So many things went well. And no matter what question I ask, the answer is going to be Terry Smith. You know, you talked about the offensive line. They could be down, but they're putting it together. Well, you know what? They could have done that 4 weeks ago, but they didn't. So what's different? Different head coach there. And, you know, there was no doubt, and this is another thing that I am boarding the Terry Smith train, is that he's unafraid to say he wants the job, which I admire. But another thing that showed some, I'll say, guts, he wears the Joe Paterno pin. This game is on national TV before the game even starts. Here it is, the picture of him, prominent. I was in the press box, so I couldn't hear what they were saying, but there was the picture, which spoke a thousand words. There needed no audio over it. I'll tell you what, he made a lot of Penn State alums very happy by wearing that. I'm not sure he made everybody else happy, but whether you like it or not, it just showed he's his own man.
Yeah. You know, it's like if he had a campaign manager, the campaign manager is like, hey, you should probably do this. And if you do this, you're going to get so many, you're going to get this population, right?
This demographic.
Yes, it's like almost like what it was. And throughout the week, he posted a picture of Joe Pa's book, one of his books.
Yes.
And just like he's been kind of like, just like subtly, you know, recognizing the coach that he played for, right? And I think that is to people that grew up a fan of Penn State, and I'm from Youngstown, Ohio, and there's it's obviously a big Ohio State town, but it's a Big Ten town, and everybody loved watching Joe Pa at Penn State. And it's like when you think Penn State, it's hard not to think Joe Pa, right?
Yep.
And I, at least for me, maybe younger people, it's a little different now. But like, I think the older people that you're talking about, and even me, I'm 42. You grew up on Joe Pa. You know, I read his books and stuff like that. And obviously, with Coach Franklin, it was a little bit different. He didn't want to recognize it that much. He wanted to create his own legacy, and that's fine. That's his prerogative. But I've always been on the side where, like, I read his books. I read some of the other books that were like just very surface level stuff about Penn State and its history.
Yeah.
And whatever you read, though, you can't deny that he built this place. Like, yeah. You can't. We cannot deny that. I get all that other bad stuff that happened, but he built this place to what it is. And Coach Franklin was able to help revive it from that dark time and then to where it is now. And now to have Terry as somebody that a letterman that played for him and recognize him, it's pretty cool. It's really neat. And I can only imagine, you know, the people that, like yourself, that went here, you know, that are a little bit older and, you know, probably have more affection for Joe Pa in that time. It probably means the world. Probably does.
It does, because Joe Paterno, he established not just winning football, to me, my success with honor,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it always meant something to Penn State fans. We'll do it the right way. We do it differently. And for Terry, I'll admire that he did that, but also that he had the guts to do it. Like, he wasn't playing it safe. You know, you mentioned campaign managers. Most campaign managers are so risk averse.
Yeah.
You don't step, that could be a landmine that you're stepping on there. But then it goes from that to the fans, and it started with the students, it always does, chanting Terry's name. And, you know, I said before the game, this was his job interview. He aced the job interview, and the fan base is there. And it kind of puts Pat Kraft in a bit of a difficult position. Nobody knows what Pat Kraft is thinking, if he had somebody in mind, if there's a backroom deal that's already been done.
Yeah.
Nobody knows any of that. But if it's still, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's still pretty much wide open, if nothing else, it certainly gives Pat Kraft something to think about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Seeing him embrace Terry after these wins and going through this process with him, it's awkward. It's naturally just awkward, right? You just let go of the head coach, you know, that you've been with for 12 years, but it seems like both have handled it really well professionally. And you know, Pat Kraft has done a mastermind of this search, right? Even national media, nobody can find out anything. All right, that's why, like, when people ask me who, I have no idea. No, nobody in the building has any idea. He's done a great job, you know, keeping it close. But yeah, it's definitely another element that he has to think about now. I thought it was cool listening on the radio show today where they just mentioned, why not give Terry a 2-3 year deal? Yeah, figure it out. You know, especially in a time where like the pool of coaches, it's all over the place. It's still the Wild Wild West to a certain extent, right? So let's get through this Wild Wild West. All these guardrails are getting put in place, and maybe some other coaching candidates come up or whatnot. Give Terry this 2-3 year deal. See how it goes, right? Nothing's promised. And then what will happen worse? He'll kill it? What? Or what? We'll win 8-9 games? Okay, that's not what we want. But I guarantee you, Terry would be able to put people around him to facilitate to the new times, right? Just like Coach Franklin was. You know, he doesn't have to do the cap stuff, right? He can have somebody do that. He doesn't have to do all of the player development, like taking them out to, you know, community service. He has people. What I'm saying, he has the skill set to win. Now he could, if he's named the head coach full time, just surround himself with people that can help him all those other areas. And I'd feel 100% confident with Terry there.
And I think that's going to be the key. If it is Terry, no, he has not coached at this level as the head coach and been the CEO, okay? And I don't think there's any coach now in the country who could keep his arms around everything anymore. James came close, you know, we talked about him micromanaging everything, and Terry doesn't seem like he'd be that guy, and you'd have to put in the support people. But considering there are candidates out there that you have to pay, it's gonna be like $12-15 million to get some of those big names. I imagine if Florida or LSU prize Lane Kiffin away, imagine what that number's going
to
be.
Yeah, so that goes back to what I just said, the time that we're in right now. Like, it's nuts. There's going to be some kind of reform on these contracts, the market right now. So you're going to pay Lane Kiffin $14 million to be the highest paid. Okay, so now that's the new market. Right, that's what the new Jimmy Sexton bottom line is. Like, that's not realistic, I don't think. So if you retain Terry, I don't think you have to pay Terry $14 million. You pay him whatever's fair, right, in the market. But, yeah, those contracts for what's, you know, pretty at the time is, I think, could be reckless. You could get burnt on that really quick.
Schools have been already.
Yeah, because I mean, John Summerall is so hot, right? Such a hot name. Oh, he loses a game. Now he's not that hot. He's not up for that job. One game, Really?
Yep.
You're gonna potentially pay somebody $14 million 1 week, but then he loses to UAB, and you say nope, no more $14 million.
Well, that's why, you know, it's ironic that Kalen DeBoer's name keeps coming up, but he's lost two games. He'll still make the playoffs, which would make it tough to hire him. Yeah. But ironically, if he loses another game, it's like, oh, he's an awful coach. Yeah, but now we could hire him because he'll be in the playoffs. But I think the only thing you mentioned about, you know, a couple-year contract with Terry, I think when you think about the budgets of these football teams now, I think you've got to commit a few more years to a coach. I don't think you could only give them two or three. I think it's got to be like four or five. But considering if you could get him at the reasonable price and not the $14-15 million,
yeah,
so what? Yeah. Do it.
But it's also the contract language too. That's where Jimmy Sexton screws all these schools. Is this the automatic money, all that stuff, the guarantee money? That's where things get screwed up big time with that. I hate that. You can get creative with his contract, but I see this coaching carousel. I see it. It's going to evolve, and I just think if you have somebody stable, somebody that people embrace and love, like Terry, it's hard not to look at him and give him a legitimate shot.
I think if you give him the shot, but then also have the infrastructure around them, people who can do those other skill sets that Terry might not have, but probably most importantly, at the end of the day, are you going to invest in the program? Do you have the dollars and cents to bring the talent in, which is just the way of the world right now?
Yeah, and you know what's neat too? It's like, so Pat Kraft is making the decision, right? This is a big decision, obviously. He's probably, if you're hiring somebody, you're probably going to want somebody that you like and can see yourself having good, hard, bad conversations with, you know. Yeah. And I think that's probably what Pat's like, probably feeling out right now. Hey, can I see myself like talking to this guy day to day about like issues, this or that, you know? Can I see myself like wanting to go to some big boosters with Terry? Like, right. He's probably feeling all that out right now, because you're probably going to want some. He's going to want somebody like-minded, like Pat. And Pat is, like, everybody knows, is, like, very aggressive. He's brash. He's probably going to hire somebody, like, similar to him. And, like, Terry is who he is. He's an alpha male. You know, that's what...
You better
Pat,
be. If
yeah, Pat is an alpha. Them. Like, you better be an alpha, or they'll sniff that out, and you won't have a shot at this position. So I think that's why you've heard, like, rumors, exclamation, that some guys haven't interviewed well. And I would say that's probably because, like, Pat is he demands the room, you know, which I love. That's the AD. That's awesome. Way different than when I was here the first time. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out.
All right. That's the final word. Thank you, Mike. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.